Winona Forever is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, head on over to cageclub.me. Hi, I'm Lindsay Gibb.
And I'm Rekha Tulsaram.
And this is Winona Forever.
Hello, welcome to Winona Forever, the podcast that we're doing, and I don't know what
just
I'm doing.
Started.
Okay, yes. Today we're talking about Black Swan, the movie that came out in 2010. We're finally out of 2000. What are the odds?
Yeah.
So that's nice.
So nice.
And we have a special guest with us, Mr. Adam Holman, all the way from Calgary. He's on the line.
Hi there. Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I am supposed to tell you about Black Swan, but I mean...
Can you tell us who Adam is?
Oh, Adam. Yes. Adam.
Can I just say, I just want to say that I'm really excited because I've listened to every single episode of this podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
Adam's our super
fan.
So
it's kind of surreal right now talking to you guys. So.
This is awesome.
Thanks.
Well, let's talk about Adam.
Sure.
Oh, Lord. I don't know what to do anymore. So listen, Adam and I have known each other since university in film studies. We were young scholars.
At Carleton U.
We coined the phrase film studies, poor, depressed, and lazy.
Okay.
You know. actually, Adam and I became friends... And around the time we became friends, we discovered that we both were big Winona Ryder fans.
Ooh.
And Adam had this book, the book that I have now that I think I showed you. It's the Us book of Winona Ryder things. That's from Adam.
Yeah, I think it was like in the 90s. So Us Weekly put out this, I guess it was maybe monthly back then. I don't even know. But they put out this hardcover book about Winona. And it was just full of like collected articles for magazines or whatever. And I bought it, and I loved it.
And now I have it.
Yeah, you have it now. Yeah, so I'm a longtime Winona fan, too.
Sweet.
And Adam and I used to be roommates, but Adam, have we ever watched, like, did we watch many? Yes, we did, probably. Winona
Ryder. Yeah, I feel like we did. I feel like we didn't watch a lot of these ones from the 2000s, the last decade.
No.
The lost decade that you guys had to suffer through. But I think, did we watch Black Swan together or something? Or maybe I should wait till you introduce it before we talk about that.
I don't know. Okay, so, yes. I think we did, but maybe at home. So Adam and I, so we used to be roommates, so maybe we watched Black Swan at home, but I watched in theater as well. This film stars Ms. Natalie Portman. I don't know why I introduced her like that.
Fair.
Stars Natalie Portman, I guess the tagline here on IMDb, because I have too many hypes to really... you know, spit this out, is it's about a committed dancer who struggles to maintain her sanity after winning the lead role in a production of Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake.
Yeah, that's accurate. That's what it's about.
It's pretty much
the whole thing.
The thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it does, you know, the thing with the old, out with the old, in with the new, and the old is Winona Ryder in this case.
Totally.
So you guys have seen this movie before, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Have you? So you have. So you said we watched it?
Yeah, I feel like you tried to go to the premiere in Toronto so that you could see Winona. Is that right? Am I remembering that right?
Oh, that's 100% true. And I went at TIFF. No, I went, but I didn't see Winona. I missed her, but I did stand face to face with Natalie Portman at the Black Swan premiere. And all I said to her was Portman.
Portman.
Because of Zach Galifianakis, you know, between two ferns, he called her Portman. I don't know. It was just in my head, and I was just like, Portman.
Oh my God! What did she say?
Yeah. Nothing. She's there's so many people like you know had much better things to say. I was just some idiot yelling saying Portman, like, you know. So that was that.
So but you no, went to the premiere.
So I went to the premiere. That was my premiere.
And Winona was there.
I was on the red carpet. She was there, but I think she didn't like greet the fans or like she walked through, but I missed her. So that was that. I really wanted to get a glimpse of her, but no.
So were you just there to watch the people enter? Like you didn't go to the movie?
Oh, no, I didn't go to the movie.
Right.
It's like a red carpet or something. Wasn't it at the Elgin Theater in Toronto?
No, that was at the Roy Thompson, RTH, the Roy Thompson. Okay. Yeah. Cool. But I only saw the movie later in December. And I know this because I found a tweet of mine, which I don't agree with anymore.
Okay. Interesting. I think I changed my opinion on the movie too.
Yeah.
On rewatch. What was your original tweet?
I almost couldn't say
the word tweet. I don't know why.
Wow, we're in the Twitter era now of Winona.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you tweeted about this.
So all I wrote was Black Swan was perfect.
That's it. I mean, well, that makes sense to the end of the movie because at the end of the movie she says it was perfect or whatever. Yeah. So you were just off seeing the movie, so you kind of quoted it in your assessment.
I guess I did.
It was quippy to say.
I actually think I saw it with Anne the first time in theater.
We've had Anne on twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Previous guest.
Shout out.
Hello. She's not listening.
I have no memory of when I saw this. Like, I know that I saw it and maybe it was, I don't know if it was in theaters or if it was like right after it came out for, you know, video, whatever. One or the other. It was around the time that it came out that I saw it, but that's the only time I've seen it. I never rewatched it until this prepping for this podcast. So yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
Same with me. I saw it in the theater and I don't remember where or when, but that was the first time, or that was the only time until yesterday as well.
Actually, now I think I did see it in the theater because I remember talking to a friend who also saw it in the theater and she said she had to leave and throw up during the, like, while watching it.
Oh, okay.
And so I think I had seen it when she was telling me that. And so obviously it was while it was in theaters. So there we go. That's my memory coming back.
Hey, there was a lot of like cringeworthy.
Yeah. It made.
Yeah.
Scenes in there. Ew. Lots of ew.
Totally.
Lots of ew.
It's so funny. I didn't think of this as a horror movie. I like until rewatching it. And maybe I did think of it on first watch, but in between I forgot, I guess. Like, do you guys think of it as a horror movie?
Kind of. Yeah. I felt like there's so much
creepy. With Vincent Cassell in it, kind of, you know? Because he was all those French
horrors. It was the sound effects, too. Like, there were so many gross things that just had this gross sound effects that just made me cringe a lot.
Yeah like the nails and the nails.
All the body horror is
horror. Ew.
But like I really like a lot of body horror films, but I feel like they're usually so like over the top that they're not like this kind of gross, like this kind of upsetting. Like I found this really upsetting and hard to watch, like especially all the fingernail.
Agreed.
And the
yes.
peeling of skin. Yeah. I don't know.
The feather.
I think also because
of the feather coming out of it. That'll stick with you. That'll stick with you.
I think a lot of body horror films also have like either like mechanical stuff happening or like stuff that's not as real as this. Like this was a ballerina with body horror mixed in, and that just made it even like more off-putting. I think the like also the eating disorder stuff on top of the body horror was just like too much.
It was.
I feel like I'm making you feel sick talking about it. Your face.
I'm just gonna have
right
a sip of water.
Yeah, exactly. Rek is like.
I was just thinking about the cake scene. Like you know.
Yeah, I never thought about that as gross. People, I was reading up on like this before coming, and people were talking about how that was. Upsetting. Yeah. What was upsetting about the cake scene?
Well, because the mother was like about to throw out the whole cake. She was just like, fine, you don't want it.
She's
going to go. And she just like immediately was like, and it was so manipulative and fucked up. And anyway, that was just.
It was kind of an ugly cake, but yeah, it was definitely definitely manipulative.
Totally. I wanted to see the cake being cut, and I wanted to, you know, yes. I don't know, I have a, you know, I just wanted to eat the cake.
Yeah, you didn't want her to be like forced to eat it and then just lick the icing or
and
whatever.
And then I just didn't
want
to see the cut cake fall into the garbage can either. Like, there was like that fear.
I love that that was the horrifying thing. Oh my God, the whole cake. It was a big cake. You know,
okay, the scariest part for me, or the grossest part for me, is when the mom was cutting cutting Natalie Portman's fingernails
with
a pair of scissors.
Oh, yeah, so fast.
I could not watch it.
Why was she doing it so fast?
Okay. Could not watch
that. Is it just me, or, like, people don't cut fingernails with scissors, right?
Yeah, that's a weird thing. That was just for the horror of it. Okay. Shock value.
Because those were, like...
That's not a thing.
Those were, like, fabric scissors or something. Yeah. They were, like, some serious scissors.
And why was she doing so fast?
Yeah.
She was. And then Natalie Portman later in the movie was cutting her own nails with scissors as well.
Yeah.
Oh.
Y'all got to get some nail clippers.
Inherited bad habit.
I feel like any...
really grossed me out.
Yes. Anytime fingernail stuff started happening, I looked away. So I didn't even notice that Natalie Portman also used scissors. Because I was just like, I can't look. I don't want to see anybody...
And then, like, she thought she saw the evil Portman in the window, or...
Evil Portman, I love it.
In the mirror. Yeah. And the evil Portman cut her finger.
Or scratched her back. That was the other thing. That scratch on her back, which was the feathers. Yeah. You're just laughing at Portman.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman's name is Nina.
Yes.
Just gonna say that because I feel like we're gonna call her Natalie Portman through this whole thing.
True.
Let's get it out there that her name's Nina.
It's also hard too because all the characters kind of look the same, so it's hard to keep them track of who's who.
Yes. Yeah, Winona Ryder and Natalie Portman definitely have a very similar look.
They do. I think there was a couple of scenes where she turned around and she thought it was Winona, but it was actually Natalie. Mm-hmm. She was looking at herself.
The same thing with Mila Kunis, and
they
wouldn't say they look that much the same.
No, but they did a little like face fading between them all.
They did, yeah. And when they went out to the club that night, there was a lot of, like, they just kind of had the same kind of hair going on.
Mm-hmm. They were very intertwined. But yeah,
and she looks like her mom, too. I mean, that was kind of good casting. Like, she just kind of looked like a younger version of Barbara Hershey.
Yeah.
Very, very true. I forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, no?
Damn. Barbara Hershey.
Barbara Hershey was creepy.
Winona
frantic.
Was frantic. But, you know, when Natalie Portman first started becoming famous, they all said that she was going to be the next Winona Ryder.
Interesting.
Right.
So that was like an intentional casting. For
yeah,
sure.
She started pretty young, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can totally see it.
They have the same kind of, you know, similar...
Waifish frame.
Yeah, but the similar also like films and things like
right.
that.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I tried to find... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go. Please go ahead.
Well, I was trying to find an interview or something where Natalie Portman was talking about Winona, and I found something today where she said that she kind of grew up watching her, and she had so many iconic roles like Heathers and Mermaids and everything else, and it was kind of like a dream to work with her, which was kind of cool.
That makes sense. So there, yeah. Portman's my age.
Portman looked up to her. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Or our age. Actually, she's close to your birthday, Adam. She's born June 12th or June 10th.
Ooh, Gemini.
Yeah, she's a Gemini.
That's fitting for this role.
Interesting.
It's true.
I feel like...
Lex Lawn is definitely a Gemini.
I have no... Yeah. I don't know about these things.
Gemini's the twin.
I mean,
the
I don't either.
Oh,
I
right,
like
of course.
That's all I know.
Yeah,
she's June 9th, 1981.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tried to watch this thinking, could Winona... Because, first of all, I got the impression as I went in, and it turned out to be true. Because I had forgotten that Winona was even in this, and she's in, like, three scenes, which has kind of been par for the course throughout the whole 2000s. And so I was trying to think whether Winona could have been the Natalie Portman role. Like, if I could have seen her in the Natalie Portman role. Obviously not at the age that she's at, but like when she was younger.
Right, but if she was, if they made this 10, 15 years earlier.
Right.
And I'd say yes.
I mean, I think she could have done it, but I don't, somehow it doesn't seem to fit for her. I don't know why.
I agree, yeah. And actually, it's funny because in in that interview or another interview, they asked her about kind of being a ballerina, if she ever took lessons or anything. And she said that she did when she was younger, but she hated her teacher or something, so she gave it up really quickly. Yeah. And she also said that she's not an ambitious person. And she said it's like, it's because she started, you know, shooting movies so young that it's not something that she was ever interested in. So, I mean, I guess Natalie started young too.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like there's something about the, like, I don't know, the like mythos of the fact that Natalie Portman had to like practice for a year being a ballerina and all this stuff, which is maybe overstated, but like, I don't know if I see that like Winona. You know what I mean? I think she works hard on her roles and like gets into the character, but I don't like, I don't know if she tortures herself for her films in the way that I feel the main, like Natalie Portman and maybe Mila Kunis had to do for this.
The energy that they had to.
Do you think you could see her as the Mila Kunis role?
Yes. I think I could see her more as that for some reason.
Right.
I don't know why.
I could see.
I think that was really good casting too, the Mila Kunis role.
Yes.
I thought she was really good.
Me she was too. Really good.
I don't know. You didn't, like, I don't know. Like, much,
yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Apart from that 70s show. So like, I was like, wow, this is.
Yeah, she was good. I liked her. I think I liked her the best. Yeah. I was just into her. So from the limited Winona that exists in this.
Yes.
How did we feel about Winona?
Well, what was her first scene? The one where she was smashing everything in the
She said, fuck what? She said, in the thing, she said, fuck. And then she comes out and Natalie Portman's staring at her and she goes, what? And then storms off.
Yeah. I think anytime I've mentioned that she's in the movie, I think a lot of people forget that she's in the movie.
Yeah.
And I knew that she was in it, but I actually forgot that she was in that scene. I just kind of remember the party scene kind of later on, when she's really drunk, but I totally forgot about the dressing room scene. So,
yeah, I actually thought she was in it less than she was too.
Oh, wow. Into it.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
I guess because we were so like always saying, oh, well, Black Swan's coming up, like as if this was the like saving grace of her career. I thought that she'd be in it more, I guess. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't. I mean, she was good at that character.
Yeah, and that face stabbing scene
that was the best.
Oh my god,
you did like
so disturbing.
So it disturbing. Is disturbing. That,
definitely.
That's what I didn't forget about the movie.
I mean, I forgot she was in it. So yes, I must have forgot. Yeah. I think I just forgot everything about the movie because I wasn't ready for how horrified I was by it. Like I know that Darren Aronofsky's films are not films I like to rewatch because they're usually like so upsetting.
Disturbing.
But I forgot that this one was until like pretty quickly into it when like, I don't know, fingernails or like skin starts peeling and I'm like, no, I forgot. This is upsetting.
Yeah, there's a lot of grossies.
Oh, so dear. Has Winona been in any horror movies before this one? Like full on, like gross, like this.
I don't know, like Dark Souls or something. Was it called The Last Souls?
Oh yeah,
that's it. Yeah. I mean, that was maybe not pure horror like, either.
I don't know. Yeah, Dracula was that.
Sure, that's there you go. That's probably one.
Oh, true, Dracula.
There's lots of blood.
I mean, like, yeah, it's classic horror.
Yeah, exactly. But. Yeah, I think that of the, like, maybe three scenes that she has, what are they? There's the fuck what? Then there's, her yelling at Natalie Portman at the, like, ball or gala or whatever it is where the director of the ballet says goodbye to Winona. This is her retirement. She's leaving. And then she, like, sees Natalie Portman in the hallway and yells at her, like, how did you get this role? Did you suck his cock?
Right, yeah.
That, I think, was, I don't know, kind of upsetting. It was a weird, like, I don't know. It's upsetting to see Winona as that character, I guess. Like, oh, who's sure. just like
because it
shitting
was...
on a woman for getting a role. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Natalie says, blaming like, her. No, some people don't need to.
Right.
Which is a very disturbing thing to right. say. And also, it's funny because Winona, we don't think of Winona as someone who had to do that ever.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, it's...
And the way they have her made up, too, where her eyes, like, it looks like she's been crying, so her eye yeah. makeup is all messed, and she's just, like, a mess.
Drunk, and...
Yeah. And, like, begging him to talk to him after, like, being so mean to Natalie Portman and then turning to him and being like, I need to talk to you. Like, yeah, as much as she's kind of house, yelling at him, she's blaming her and acting like, you're gonna do me a favor to him. I don't know. It was just kind of... And she said, like, in some interviews that she apologized to Natalie Portman for the way that she was, yeah. but it sounded like for the way she was in the movie, like, as the
in
character.
The movie. Exactly.
Like, not like she was actually mean to her, but right. just, like, I hated having to be that way to
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
Which was, like, fair. Like, not that she had to apologize because it was a character, but, like, I could see feeling that way.
Yeah, because, I mean, maybe it's, you know... It's, bullshit.
Yeah, it is kind of bullshit the way the women have to treat each other in this movie.
Yeah.
And yeah. So this is why you say you don't feel the same way.
Yeah, about, it's twist. It's not
perfection
perfect.
Of this film.
No, it's not. It's not a good film. It's not a good way. It doesn't portray women very well.
Yeah.
It doesn't treat women well. It's written for man, by man, through man's eye. You know?
Is it like, who's it written by?
I actually have no idea, but I'm just...
I don't know, but it's... I think there are three writers, all male. And okay. I think there's like five producers and they're all male.
Chris sent some articles today.
Yes, I read.
And he took a screenshot for me to, in particular, to pay attention to. The Fisher and Jacobs article of 2011.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, there's this one line that says, like, an age-old male rescue fantasy of unlocking the woman's desire dating back to Sleeping Beauty. You know, assuming,
yes.
like, you know, trying to seduce her, try to change her into, like, becoming, you know, something she's not. Because that's, you know, that's the answer to her problems.
Is this the debating Black Swan gender and horror from the Film Quarterly from 2011?
Yes.
I think
okay.
So,
that's
yeah.
the one we all read that okay. one in preparation for this.
Here again, another tired binary mapping the limited terrain of femininity under patriarchy.
Yeah.
It's very tropey. There's a lot of stuff that we've seen like a gazillion times.
Yes. You know, the black, white, virgin horror.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that's playing, I guess, on the Swan Lake themes.
Right.
But they don't really take it anywhere. Like, they don't take it beyond... Like, I honestly, before reading this article that we're talking about, I didn't think that this movie really had anything to say. Like, I almost felt it was neutral. Like, it was just saying, like, this is how this world is. And, like, not making any commentary on it. But mm-hmm. I think by not letting the women have any kind of... power in the at all that's a commentary in itself.
Yeah, Vincent Cassel saying like, you know, you're this is the end of your career.
Yeah, and that he gets to say that. Yeah. And that she just and that she'll just beg for it back.
Yeah.
Or like throw herself in front of a car or whatever she yeah. did.
And he says, oh, she's doing that on purpose.
It's she, you know, typical it's, he I think he said to yeah. Natalie Portman.
Yeah, it's definitely playing into those stereotypes for sure. Like, you know, all of those things. I think what was kind of interesting about it for me, though, was because of the way that she's trying to be this perfect kind of dancer or artist or whatever. And it doesn't even matter how perfect she could become because there was all, you know, the men in her life were telling her that she's frigid, you know? And
yes, that was said so
like, it doesn't
times.
Matter how good you can be. It's funny because I know that it's not really the same, but I kept thinking about Beyonce in this movie and how she just like,
yes.
she just strives for perfection so much. And then the thing that people say about her is that she's cold or something, you know?
Right.
And it's like, how much does this woman have to prove, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like she, like, Natalie Portman in this is being sabotaged by everyone, or partially it's in her head that she's being sabotaged. It's also one of those things where it gets to a point where we don't know what's real anymore. But yeah, it's very much pitting her and Mila Kunis and like her and Winona against each other constantly.
It's like Mean Girls, but like,
and then him controlling her sexuality by being like, you need to be more sexual to be able to be the Black Swan.
You have to seduce me.
Go touch her. Go home and masturbate.
Go masturbate.
Which is so bullshit because he hired her. He cast her right away. And he's basically like telling her like, oh, you don't have what it takes. You don't have what it takes. But he already gave her the part.
Right. She's already in the fucking school.
He knows that she can do it. Yeah.
She's already in the company or whatever.
But then he plays her off of everybody.
Yeah.
In I guess the press right after this, Natalie Portman and Mila Kunis both said that Darren Aronofsky did that to them too, like that he would tell them each things about each other. Like, I don't know if he was like telling them that the other one was great or something, or like what he was doing. But they said he kept them apart during the filming or something. And good like Lord. I think they were friends because I think Natalie Portman suggested Mila Kunis for the role.
Yeah, I think she said she got it. we knew what he was doing because we are friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So he was kind of playing the role of that guy. Like, I don't know. That to me sounded awful.
Yep.
And I think Winona, she like had a very diplomatic interview that I watched where it sounded like she was trying to say nice things about Darren Aronofsky, but you could tell that she had nothing to say. And she was saying like, oh, it's great that he has like the same team with him all the time and stuff. And it was kind of like, okay, she doesn't have anything good to say, but she did say something to the effect of, I don't know if I could handle, I don't know if she said in these words like that kind of manipulation or whatever, but like she was kind of saying like she didn't know if she could have been the main roles in this because she doesn't think she could take that. And I was like, yep, exactly. Like, better to be this small role and not have to be tortured by.
I mean, maybe it's kind of useful because I think the movie is very reflective of that, because even in the scene where she, you know, in the final performance, she's imagining Mila Kunis like sleeping with the director and everything else. But then the next scene, Mila Kunis will come up to her in her room and be there for her as a friend. And so it's like, what is actually real? Is she imagining this rivalry? Like, is this friend actually just trying to be her friend the whole time?
Mm-hmm. Or like which parts, because apparently she imagined them having sex too, so it's like which parts are imagined.
And even the face stabbing, was that real? But also she thought she killed Mila Kunis,
but she stabbed herself in the stomach. But then also, did she, like, is that real? What parts are real? So yeah.
Okay, there was a really funny scene, though, when she went on. I keep calling Natalie Portman Winona, which is really telling. But when Natalie Portman was rehearsing in the room, and there was that piano player, and then all of a sudden, he just stops and walks out, and he's like, I've got a life.
Yeah.
Like, that was really weird.
It was really weird.
But also kind of funny.
It stopped me in my tracks. I was like, what?
He just starts, do that.
He just ends it like that? He didn't say, okay, that's it. Like, wrapping up now. Finishing this song? Nope.
Yeah, he just walks away.
Walks away. Cool. He's got a life.
Well, I guess it was to show that she, like, works too hard, right? Like,
I know.
I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
It was a little abrupt.
It was, yeah.
So did Natalie steal? She stole a bunch of stuff from Winona's dressing room, right? What did she steal? Like lipstick?
Lipstick, and those earrings, which.
The earrings.
I guess were the earrings her mother commented on, and she said, oh, they're fake.
Yeah.
But I guess they weren't because she stole them from Winona.
So is that the lipstick that she puts on the subway to seduce the director?
Yes.
Maybe?
Yes.
I think so. She was very excited when she stole that lipstick. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only thing we actually see her steal. But then when she gives all the stuff to Winona, like, whether she really went to the hospital and gave it to her or not, who knows? But then she's been stealing a bunch of stuff. Yeah, the nail file that Winona stabs herself in the face with. But then later, Natalie Portman has in her hand. So did she stab Winona? What happened? I don't know. We'll never know.
No.
So I Googled in my Gmail Black Swan to see maybe if I had something in my G-chat when I saw it. And I have this conversation with our friend Jessica. And she said, yeah, I saw Black Swan last night. I could hardly handle Winona's hair.
Oh, that's interesting.
Also,
it was
true.
Kind of a strange haircut for her. Yeah, has she had hair like that before?
It was mid-length. It was like between lengths, it looked like.
Yeah. Is it a little awkward, maybe?
Mm-hmm. I wonder what film she did before, because in that interview that I was watching with her, she said that she didn't get to have a lot of backstory for her character because she was filming something up until the day before she started working on Black Swan.
Oh.
So I wonder what film that was.
Winona?
Yeah, because The Dilemma's right after this, and I went, like, did she film The Dilemma before this?
Yeah, it just doesn't look very ballerina.
Well, she is supposed to be retiring.
Like. Yeah, it's true. I feel like ballerinas always have long hair that's pulled back.
Yeah.
Or in a bun.
Yeah, no, totally. It's funny, I was staring at her face so much, like, that makeup thing that I was referring to, like, where her eyes were so dark, that I forget what her hair looked like. Which movie did you hate her hair in, Rekha?
Oh, most of the early
2000s. No, there was one that you were just really upset about her hair.
That's right.
Oh, no. She doesn't often have long hair, though, does she?
Was it Autumn
New York? It wasn't Autumn New York. No, she doesn't often have long hair.
I'm trying to remember long hair, and I think I can only think of Edward Scissorhands, which was blonde.
Oh, Celebrity.
Oh, you Celebrity. Hated her. I hated
Celebrity,
her hair.
Yes, that's Celebrity. Right.
Stringy.
It was very stringy.
So that's not the case in Black Swan. It's too, like, what, puffy
or something?
Oh, here,
I've got
something?
A photo for you. Oh. It's like, it's like bobbish, but flipped out, and then her bangs are a mess.
I think I had this problem in the mid-2000s as well. I tried to grow my hair. I don't know what I did.
It looks like she's in between haircuts.
Yeah.
But also, ballerina would not have that hair.
No, it's very true. It's a very, like, Friends era hair. You know, it's just not appropriate to a ballerina, like you say. She should have just had, like, long straight hair or something.
Yeah,
that's what ballerinas, I mean, that's but at least what wanted, Mila Kunis and
I think they just had. Wanted to make her look even
weirder.
Yeah. Shittier.
She was an angry middle-aged lady. Well, she was 39, I think. They refer to her as 39 in all the press for this, so whether she was 39 when she did press or when she filmed this, I don't know, but that's my age right now.
So her age decades kind of line up with her decades of film. It's very, so that was, her 30s.
Right. Yeah.
She is credited as Beth McIntyre, but she's also credited as the Dying Swan.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Which I don't know Swan Lake.
Me neither.
She's not in there, Swan Lake.
No.
And so I don't know why she's the Dying Swan, other than that she's the one who's leaving. And
unless it was like Darren Aronofsky's nickname or something.
I don't know. I mean, it makes sense, I guess, but
they never called her the Dying Swan.
But I think it was his choice to cast her. That's what I read somewhere.
Darren Aronofsky's choice to cast her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Good I read something about maybe they were looking up Parker Posey, but he wanted Winona to play
Parker
her.
Posey.
Interesting. I don't know if I can.
I mean, she'd be good at playing kind of a drunk character.
Yeah,
in that one
kind
scene.
Of offer. Yeah, yeah.
She'd have
she'd
a bit
good
of a different spin,
things.
But yeah. Oh yeah, that was the other thing. Winona said she was apologizing while she was smashing this stuff because she like felt weird about it, and I'm just like, that's amazing. But also,
oh my God.
When I watched her smash the stuff, I like wrote down she gets to fuck shit up. Like it was exciting that she got to smash things. She was, I guess, not excited about it. She
did.
Felt bad.
She said she had to think about her boyfriend when she was 13.
Because he liked to smash things
like
or tried
that?
To get her to smash things or something.
Hilarious.
That's so funny.
I feel like this is, like, I think that the reason that I was, like, more grossed out by this type of body horror and the horror-ness of this, I guess, is just that it's so much about pressure. And that's, like, more disturbing than what a lot of horror movies are about, like this violence or like something that is like beyond your imagination of it actually happening to you, that when you like watch something that's just so much about pressure in your life that
yeah, you can
kind
totally.
Of relate to. It's just like more disturbing and off-putting.
Well, and the only way out for her was basically to die at the end. You know, it's like that's pretty depressing.
Yeah, that is pretty bad when you're like, I don't know how old she's supposed to be in this, like late mid to late 20s or something. Yeah, like you just perfect. Have to die. Yeah, I mean, when she goes to see Winona in the hospital when the face stabbing happens, she says, "I know what you. I'm so sorry. I stole all your stuff. I know what you feel like now." She's trying to steal my role or like whatever. She's trying to be me or steal my whatever.
Yeah.
And she had a line. I forget what it was, but I'm just like, really, like, I don't know. You're only in your mid 20s and you know what it's like to be this person who's been put out to pasture. Like,
yeah,
I don't
know. You haven't even actually started the show. You've
I know.
You're just rehearsing for it. I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
And then Winona says, "I'm not perfect. I'm nothing."
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Is that what she says when she stabs herself in the face?
Yeah.
I think that's her last line. I don't know if that's before or after.
And that's when she turns into Natalie Portman too, because then she's like stabbing herself in the face and the face changes and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really depressing. Natalie Portman basically gives like one perfect performance and then dies.
Yep.
And is replaced probably.
Yeah.
We're so depressed. Now we're depressed for a different reason, not because the movie is shit, but because it's sad that.
Yeah, she had kind of that character had such a shitty life. Like, probably ballerina. The mom's probably, you know.
Yeah.
Has a lot going on there.
I don't know how.
There's a lot of projecting.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess that's how you become a ballerina when your mom was one. Like, it seems like. She both wants to live vicariously through her daughter, but also sabotage her so she doesn't do better than she did. And it's just like, how do you do that? I don't know.
But then also traps her in this weird, like, childhood phase. You know, everything in her bedroom is pink and frilly. And she even talks, like, she talks so, like, a child.
Like a child,
in the movie.
Yeah. The whole
time. Yeah, and it doesn't, not until later on, you know, when she finally embodies the Black Swan, she, like, kind of has the deeper voice, but.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's very, very high pitched even. And just like, hello, like, you know, just very, I don't know why.
I think in some interview, she said that was the hardest thing to do for this was to do that voice. Cause she had she did have like a kind of childish voice naturally. And then she had to like learn to speak more like an adult or whatever for her film roles. And so she had to like revert.
Yeah. It sounded like when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
where it kind of sounded, it had a little bit of Queen Amidala in there. You know,
interesting.
Early.
I like, what's it called? Leon or something. The Professional.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Professional,
yeah. I wonder what the movie would have been like, though, if it had been written by women.
Very different, I think. But I can't imagine exactly.
Maybe a way out for her or something. I don't know. Maybe not so bleak.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah.
Anyway, solid Winona performance, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good casting.
I think.
Yeah, great casting.
Totally. Nice.
Yeah, perfect.
Perfect. Perfect. There's something perfect.
That's perfect. Oh, Lord.
Perfect.
Good Lord.
I think one of the most disturbing scenes for me is when Natalie Portman does decide to masturbate and then she turns and her mom's there. And that has such a, like, that music that plays when her mom's there is so horror movie-ish. It's just so, like, blah, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's horrific. It's just like, and then,
yeah.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
It's just like, jeez. I mean, her mom's asleep and everything, but still, it's like, I don't know. Really, like, do you feel, okay, so if this is a horror movie, and I mean horror movies, like traditional, like teen horror movies or whatever, kill off the women who have sex. In this, it's kind of the opposite, right? She's supposed to be the virgin or the one who's like being forced to be sexual, but she's still the one who dies. Like, I don't know. Is it because she does fall into that? Like, she does sort of obey the, like, you have to become sexualized in order to do this role properly. And so she kind of goes with
it. Yeah, exactly. I totally think that.
You think
that,
that's what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. And then she becomes sexualized and it's like, okay, now you have to die.
You're not the perfect virgin anymore. Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah, he says to her, "You're not a virgin, are you?" And she goes, "No," or whatever. And then he goes, "So there's nothing to be embarrassed about."
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what the fuck?
So fucked up. It was so fucked up.
Like, how old is she supposed to be? She could be a virgin if she wants to.
Yeah. And like,
anyway.
Whatever. Yeah, he's the worst. Like, I mean, also, like, her whole life has been dancing. How could she have thought about anything else? Like, it seems like that's all she's been doing.
Well, that's just it. They force perfection on her.
Yeah.
And then what do they expect, you know?
Right. There's a whole controversy around this film about how much of the dancing Natalie Portman did. The reason I'm bringing that up is just in part because I read a lot about it today, but also because we're talking about like the dancer's life or whatever. And so the person who was like her stunt dancer or whatever, like mm-hmm. her backup dancer, came out after this movie saying like, I actually did most of the dancing, and like they're saying that she did all the dancing, but it was actually me. And then people were like, why do you think it's important to tell us that type thing? And she's like, oh, I don't want the credit. It's just that there's no way that somebody could be that good of a dancer in one year. Like she's like, I've been doing this since I was four. Mm-hmm. Like, this is like, yeah, it's a craft that people do. And it's, yeah, like, yeah, it's true. Like, the movie is kind of true too. Like, maybe it's not that extreme, but it's like,
yeah,
it does take accurate all of your work, like 9 hours a day or whatever, to be a really great dancer. And like, sure, Natalie Portman could fake it as an actor, but like, I don't know if this woman was like, ah, it was me.
Yeah, and we also know she's an actress. Like, we know it's not real in a way, too, right? We know that it's a performance, right? Mm-hmm.
But apparently the producers and stuff were trying to get her to not talk about it until after the Oscars, because they thought that Natalie Portman like might not get the Oscar because they were like playing down how much dancing she did or something. And it's like, really?
Good
like,
Lord.
She's acting in it. Like, that's the point. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and he said that everything from her the top half of her is real, but a lot of the bottom isn't, but not all of it. So even the bottom, she's doing a lot of that too. So,
well, so he said at one point, there's 139 dance shots, 111 are Natalie Portman and 28 are her dance double. But then, of course, that woman was like, nah. She's like, if you count just her face as some of those scenes, then maybe, but like, yeah, no, most of the full body things are me. So anyways, well, I don't know. Huh. Controversy. But I think she did hurt herself, like broke ribs and stuff.
Oh, really?
Doing the film. Yeah. Huh.
The male ballerina man, that's Portman's husband.
Right. They met on the film. Is he the one? Because I feel like maybe there's two male ballerina men, but I don't know if one of them is the only one who gets to say anything. But there's one.
He's the one with lines. I think he's the one who said, like, oh, the guy was like, would you date her?
Yeah. Would you, like, fuck her or whatever? Like,
he didn't say anything. And then
he's like, see, he wouldn't or whatever. Like,
yeah, that's right. He has a line at the end in the final performance when he drops her and he says, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. He says, what the fuck? Yeah.
Right. And then she is all like, it's his fault he dropped me. And that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. There you go. That's her husband. Beans. Can you hear Beans?
Yeah.
She really just wailed there. The other thing that I feel like, and I don't know, this is just more stuff like gossip stuff that I read about this, but like there was something about like, Natalie Portman had a trailer and then there was no medic, and then she said, I think it's more important for there to be a medic than for me to have a trailer, and so they took her trailer away so that they could pay for a medic. And like, I don't know, to me, like, a lot of this just sounds like torturing the actors in like a weird way.
Yeah.
Not that having no trailer is torture, but like not having a medic when there's a lot of physical stuff happening in this movie seems, I don't know, over the top.
Very irresponsible.
Irresponsible. Exactly. Especially since she did apparently like hurt her ribs and I think something else. I don't remember what she did. She did two things.
That scene, what was it? That scene where the on hand doctor was kind of pressing into her rib cage.
Yes, that was upsetting. Ouchie, that was like right under her boobs, yeah. I think. And I was just like that would hurt a lot to
right
punch
under the
into
rib,
there. Yeah,
yeah. Ouchie.
That and the stuff they were doing to the feet. Yeah. I can't handle any of the feet stuff in this. There's
yeah, I saw some article where they were comparing it to, like, you know, the David Cronenberg stuff, the body horror stuff. But I feel like this was a lot grosser, and I don't know why. And we talked about it, but maybe it's the nails or something. But I don't know what it was. I feel like maybe it felt a little more real than a lot of, like, silly things that you might see.
Mm-hmm. Like when she kind of turns into a swan in her bedroom and her legs bend back and her head hits the thing, like, that is over the top, but it's horrible. Like,
to watch,
like, in the sound of her legs doing that.
The goosebumps all over her body. Yeah. Really grossed me out.
Yeah.
Yes. So did you guys like this time? Did you like you obviously liked it less since you said it was perfect the first time. But did you still like it?
I did like it. I did, yeah. It was really intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
It had watchable. A vibe I was into. Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was.
I think I wrote down...
I was really creeped out by Vincent Cassella or whatever. But
He was
the worst. He was so awful. Everything he said, every line he said was, like, the worst.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, was misogynistic. Was just shitty. Everything he suggested... Everything. So that was I don't think I saw that the first. Maybe I did, but I don't remember.
I don't remember that either. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I remember the first time being very excited about Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman. I thought they were really cool. Like, they were good acting together. They were really well. They were well suited together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
I think I wrote down, I don't totally hate that I had to watch that again. So. There you go. That's my feeling about it. I think it's just the whole, like, I usually can't handle watching a Darren Aronofsky film a second time. So it wasn't horrible. And I think I'd never watched another one of his movies after this. I don't think he's had that many after this, but I haven't seen
I think
seen
he only made two after this. There is something and then Mother. Yeah. I don't think I'll watch Mother again. I think once in my life
that's
is totally
just
fine
once.
For Mother.
That's just a one watch. Which never watched, but I watched it. Oh my God. That was something else. Have you haven't seen
Mother?
It,
no, I haven't.
I don't know.
I keep thinking I'll see it, but I don't know if I don't know. I can't watch her watch torture.
After this glowing
like, is
review.
She tortured in that movie? Is that like a torture movie on her?
Yeah, yeah. Like a little over the top.
I just can't anymore. You know?
After this
it's like
movie, he made
Lars von Trier
Noah.
Stuff. I can't do anymore.
Yeah.
After he like,
I mean, fair.
Did all that to Bjork.
So after this movie, he made Noah.
Okay, Noah I haven't seen.
Which I kind of fell asleep during, I think. But the one that he made before was The Wrestler, and he says that this is a companion to that.
The female version or something, yeah.
I think he envisioned a movie that had a wrestler and a ballerina as a couple, and he thought, oh, no, that's too much. They need to be two separate movies.
Huh. Interesting.
That would have been a good movie.
The Wrestler and the Ballerina.
Sure.
Mickey Rourke.
I could be next.
Mickey Rourke and Natalie Portman.
Oh, boy. Mickey Rourke was also disturbing.
Oh, yeah. That was a gross movie.
I mean, I guess that's the point of his movies, right? He wants you to be disturbed.
So what's next for Winona? I was going to say Portman, but that's another podcast.
That's another podcast that will be called Portman. I think The Dilemma is next.
I saw something about some TV movie that she was in, but I don't even know what that is. Do you guys?
Is it Turks and Caicos?
No, I think I know what you mean. It was like about being a wife of an alcoholic or something.
Oh yeah, she was the person who started Alcoholics Anonymous or whatever.
When Love Is Not Enough, the Lois Wilson story.
Yes, we talked about.
And she plays Lois Wilson.
I forget which episode we talked about this. I think we talked about it.
Yeah, we talked.
We like didn't really talk about it. We referred to the fact that it existed as a film.
Yes. So this came out in 2010, but because it's a TV movie and also I have no idea where to find it, we're not going to do a thing on it. But if you are listening and want to watch it, go for it.
And you're hardcore.
If you're hardcore. And or if you know something about it, contact us.
Yeah. Or know where to watch it, because if we could watch it, then
let us know where we can find it.
You know, talk about
it later.
You should
have a call-in episode.
Everybody just calls in with their thoughts on the 2000s. Well, we will have a TV episodes episode, maybe soon. But we've only just entered the 2010, so maybe we'd need to do a couple before we break out into a special episode. And if we can find her short films, we could do a short film episode. But again, I'm not sure of how easy those will be to find.
Did you see The Dilemma before?
No.
Okay.
But I think she was talking about it in the press for Black Swan because she worked on it around the same time. So I knew it was at the same time.
Very different.
Kevin James and who? What
Vince
was the other?
Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, yeah. I mean, just
it was directed by Ron Howard. Okay, wow. Well,
really?
Save that for next story.
I mean, this is just not the type of
preview.
I just, there's no way I would have seen The Dilemma. Like, I really, really don't like Vince Vaughn. I'll say that right now.
Fair.
I just don't watch any movie with him in it. But I will for this. So that's next. I'll watch a Darren Aronofsky film twice, but I will not watch a Vince Vaughn film. Fine. I'll watch it if I must. So, Adam, thanks.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for joining us all the way from Calgary.
Do you have last Winona thoughts that you want to share or anything about a previous film or episode that you want to get out there? Sorry.
I should gather all my notes that I've been taking for all the 28 episodes.
And just tell us every thought you have, all the mistakes we've made.
No, I'm kind of with you guys. This is a dark period for me, and I didn't really know most of the last dozen movies.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see her in this, even though it's kind of a, I think they're saying a lot with this role about her, about that kind of actress, but I think it's
totally
pretty fitting.
And I think she said that in a lot of the interviews that she could relate to it, even though she's not in that industry, but it parallels to her industry. And it totally, like, in part, the fact that she's in three scenes in this is very on par with the last 12 films she's been in.
Exactly.
But also the fact that she's playing somebody who's being pushed out and can only have almost nothing.
It's hard
of
when
her
you're,
age is
when it's so
also
similar to her own
totally
yeah or
what's
what
happening
people
to her
think is what is happening to her
yeah you know? That's
and
true.
She's just so iconic as a teenager in so many ways. It's hard to probably go into your 30s and try to play roles that are very different for you.
Yeah because you have to make a whole new career, new I don't know image.
Yeah, I guess unless you're Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, Keanu just never aged or something.
Something like he can get away with doing the same shit his whole life.
Yeah, I just watched Speed last night. Right after I watched Black Swan,
I
watched Speed.
I've been wanting to watch Speed because we.
Oh, it was so good, right? What a classic!
Isn't that weird?
I also watched Dangerous Liaisons last week, and he's in that. I didn't know that. He's so young.
I didn't know that either. I don't think I've ever watched that. Well, maybe I'll go.
It's good.
That.
It's really good.
I hadn't watched Speed since it came out, so you know, decided to watch it again.
I haven't seen it like I'm going to say 10 years, but I got gum on my seat. Gum. That's
yeah,
one of my favorite
you remember
lines.
That?
Yeah.
Wow.
I watched that movie a lot.
I'm impressed that you remember that. I wouldn't have.
Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
Whoop.
Whoop. That you're feeling on Sandra Bullock? Whoop.
Yeah, I really liked her in Demolition Man. Is that the one with Sylvester Stallone?
Is that Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, and Wesley Snipes. And then she was in Speed, and I was very excited.
Huh. Yeah. I feel like I barely knew
who
she
was
then.
Oh, yeah. Then,
oh,
the net. Then yeah. Then that was,
and
you know, then the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
Yeah. While
she
you
was
were sleeping,
in Speed, too,
and,
though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She
did.
That's true. That's true with Jason Patrick.
She did Speed, too. Keanu didn't.
Yeah.
That sounds like it would have been bad. We've gone on a tangent.
I know.
At the end of the Black Swan episode, stay tuned for the Speed episode. Well, if you want a Speed episode, head on over to the Keanu Club podcast because there definitely is one over there.
True.
Cool.
Do they still do new episodes? Because he was in Toy Story 4, I think.
Keanu?
Yeah.
Maybe they've done that one. They definitely just did the, what is it? Always Be My Maybe or whatever.
Call Me By Your... No.
Oh, right. Call Me By Your Maybe.
no. I'm right, right? That's you're the name right, of the movie. Right.
Okay. I'm so wrong.
Yeah, I wish he was in that movie.
So yeah, they just did that episode, I think.
Timothée Chalamet is also in it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Oh, all right, Stoops.
Stoops.
Thank you guys for having me on this episode. What
Thank
a treat.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Adam.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure.
So, and today is July 4th.
Yes.
Which means it's Stranger Things premieres on Netflix 3.
Yeah.
Today.
I thought that was an Independence Day shout out for a second.
This is, no.
Yeah, we're recording this on July 4th.
Close the camps. That's my 4th of July shout out.
That's a good shit. Yeah. Do that.
Do you have to do a separate episode for each season of Stranger Things? Or is it all one?
We're talking about.
You'll find out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Stay
later.
Tuned.
I'll send you a text. Okay.
Cool. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Winona Forever is part of the Cage Club Podcast Network. Episodes produced by Chris Landry. Music by No Refunds. Hosted by Lindsay Gibb and Rekha Tulsaram. Contact Rekha and Lindsay at winona@cageclub.me.